The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Mean, and advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30, media luminary Griffin McElroy.
Here it is. This is season 3 of My Brother and Me, the podcast. And I've been watching a lot of, going back and like binging a lot of TV shows from, you know, that like started in 2012 and getting current. And I was thinking about it, and I think it's time that we had a character reset.
Which one of the three of us? Because I've got so much. Actually, you know what? If we're able to volunteer, if this means shedding some of the lore or some of the vor lore about ourselves and just sort of rebooting, and maybe we could even bring in a new actor to play 30 under 30 media luminary Griffin McElroy.
I want you to know I'm already in talks with Adam Scott. I am working with Adam Scott.
That is such a good get.
He
plays kind of a cynical boy, I feel like, in a lot of his shows, though. And I don't know that that's my brand. We need to tell him, hey,
but maybe your brand's changing, Griffin. That's how character reset works. For example, I've always been the kind of like curmudgeonly one, a little bit of a stick in the mud, a little bit of like, I take it way too seriously.
And well, I'm thinking about changing Justin's that up. Justin's the sex pot.
Right.
Always talking about fannies.
I would like to stay the elderly sex pot.
Are you sure?
Yes. I feel like I've just started to really inhabit my role as an elderly sex pot and as a room clean hand style elderly sex pot.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of want to stay there.
That's the anchor. That's the anchor of the show.
Yeah.
The
I mean, do you want to go further with it maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Older and sexier.
Yeah. Like, how old / sexy do you feel comfortable playing and then go 10% beyond that?
So, I'm currently a very sexual septuagenarian. I could be a very, very sexual octogenarian. I would feel pretty uncomfortable with very, very, very sexual nonagenarian.
Well, what we could do is we could may get a storyline within the show where you age rapidly and sex rapidly.
Let's... I think the best thing we've done.
I'm getting hornier.
Someone
get me some iron pills.
Why did I pick up this cursed stone?
Yeah. I need calcium faster to make my boner bone some more better.
Could we start at 150, very, 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 very horny, and then kind of walk it back? And I'm talking about almost a sort of bestial horniness, like an almost uncontrollable.
Rabid.
Where all of Justin's responses to things just become deep grunts.
One and a half centuries of just like, and then we'll be like, we'll get some feedback. We will get some. We'll get some one stars from folks like too horny, too old, and be like, "All right,
no." Well, and then we'll hit a point where it's like, "That's the right age, but maybe still a little too horny."
So then it'll be like, "All right, walk back." Now I'm 60, and I'm just kind of horny, and people are like, "I miss it a little bit, though." We'll figure it out. Split the diff.
So you're saying there's an exact age, and an exact horniness.
Yeah.
The sex Y axis where they meet, that's what we're looking for.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'll work on it. I feel like that should be in private more than in a public sort of forum like this. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah. I wonder also the etymology of the word sex pot. Were those in medieval times? People
like a literal
boning down on pots.
It's just like a big pot of sex.
Yikes. Were people getting in it to do sex, or were they doing sex to the pot? Fill it up with some sort of good feeling wax they could just sort of make their own and explore the wax.
all of the above.
All right.
And some of all the right. below, if you know what I mean.
So I'm still me, but older and sexier.
Uh-huh.
Travis, you are, what's going on with your
character?
Well,
you know, I was a curmudgeon, stick in the mud, not having any fun, but I thought, what if I instead
okay.
took that in the direction of maybe I'm actually just a little doofy and maybe also a werewolf?
Clean shaven, Travis. Maybe you take a turn being the youngest one. And then I'll get replaced by Bam Margera.
Okay.
And no. so and my whole
Adam,
thing.
I'm sorry, what was Adam Scott doing?
He was going to be me, but the Bam came in and gave the best performance audition of his fucking life. And so he's going to be me, and he's going to do at least 3 stunts an episode. Like, okay, I have this hot coffee right here. Uh-oh, it spilled it.
Okay, I'm going to stick with Adam Scott for now.
Okay, but Bam can do his stunts.
I've seen how Bam treated his father and his uncle, and he's very cruel to those old men. And I don't want someone like that around me. Because I'm going to be so old, what it and so sexual, yeah. that I feel like it's going to be a very juicy target for Bam.
Can we get Adam Scott in the mix, but call him Slam Margera?
Uh-huh.
And just have Adam Scott do stunts, hit our dad, and spill coffee all over
I don't
his...
want anyone to
want
hit,
anybody
our
hit our dad. Yeah. You've seemed very hung up on this one key aspect of the show.
It's just, there was a zeitgeist, cultural zeitgeist, of the Jackass crew. And the Jackass crew is Johnny Knoxville. He's like, what's up? Today, I'm just going to get hit by a fucking car. And everybody's like, yes, yes, we love this. And somebody, Pontius, came in and was like, hey, this time I'm going to just jump off the building.
Pilot.
Pontius Pilate. He's going to, this time I'm going to rule on Christ.
Do you want me to get Barabbas? Do you want
Christ
Barabbas?
Or Barabbas? Make up your
Christ
mind.
Or Barabbas, make your pick.
Also,
or do you
I'm
want me to slam in myself in the nuts with a huge monkey's fist knot? Okay, fine. Like sailors do. All
and
right.
And Bilbo would come in and he was like, I'm going to just smoke a bunch of weed and maybe staple my nutsack.
Okay. What?
I couldn't remember the guy's actual... what is it? Steve-O, not Bilbo. That's it.
Okay, yeah. And then we were all loving
Beesmo. Beesmo would come in.
No, Bilbo is like so on point, Travis. That's like next level. How is no one... asked Steve-O if he knows Bilbo yet? That's like prime territory.
We had like Wild Man come in and he'd like... put his wiener in a fire truck ladder and like all these stunts, right? Stunts, unbelievable stunts. And Bam shows up and people are like, all right, what do you got? He's like, I'm going to slap my dad's belly while he's asleep. And it's like, that's the wait, huh?
Why?
That's the stunt?
Do you think the other jackasses were ever like, and today I got a good stunt, I'm going to slap Bam's dad's belly. And Bam would be like, actually, that's... way out of line.
That's my fucking dad,
that's
dude.
That's my fucking dad, man. What are you?
That's my blood. That's
Johnny,
my blood
you know we're
belly.
Brothers, but that's my dad.
Maybe they should do a new Jackass where they just do things that terrify people our age. Like this week on Jackass, I'm pulling all the money out of my 401k before I'm 59 and a half. Gonna be a huge tax penalty. Check it out.
This week on Jackass, I'm gonna call the customer helpline for an airline and see if they can move my ticket to a different day.
This week on Jackass, I'm just going to go to a music festival, and there's going to be a lot of people there.
Actually, like, that would be very, at this point in my life, if someone's like, dude, pack it up, we're going to Coachella, I would just, like, scream, like a rabid raccoon, just, like, screaming, clawing at the walls.
And they could fuse. Adam and Bam, fuse. Like Steven Universe in the Slam Margera.
Or we could just make it like the Olsen twins, where like they would alternate, but you'd never know which one was which. And
I
then
love this.
Justin is just anywhere Justin. Between 60 and 150, and anywhere between very horny and very, 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 very horny.
Okay, yes, but I have a request. I would like my role to be portrayed by host of the Gong Show, Tommy Maitland. I'd like him to take over for me.
Not,
I think he's not very multi-talented.
Not Mike Myers.
Oh, we could never get Mike Myers. But Tommy Maitland as Justin McElroy, I think would be... there's got to be an off-season for the Gong Show.
Sure.
So...
All right, let's do it. 401, countdown to 420. Lots of buzz about the 420 episode. Y'all, We don't know anything.
We got nothing planned. Do you know how lucky we got that the timing of the Margaritaville thing was close enough to episode 400 that it could look like we planned something for episode 400?
Yes, exactly. Oh, also, it's a Max Fun Drive.
Sure.
Should have mentioned that before. It's a very special time of year where we ask you if you enjoy our show or many of our shows, consider supporting us with a regular donation. You can go to MaximumFun.org/donate and find out more, see what kind of gifts you can get at the different pledge levels. And we're going to talk more about those gifts and talk more about the drive, but it's a special time of year for us. We love being a part of this network, and we appreciate all the support you've given us in the past. We're trying to get to 25,000 new and upgrading members, and we need your help to get there. So if you like our shows, and you have the means, please think about supporting us with a donation at MaximumFun.org/donate.
Thank you in advance for your support, by the way. But right now, we've wasted enough of your fucking precious time with panhandling and the jackass stuff. All of
our jackassery.
Our jackassery. Let's get into some advice. Yesterday, someone from... I got three words in, y'all.
Yeah, and you added, it's not like you skipped one. You added a word.
Yesterday, someone was wandering around the office that I work in.
Hold on. Yikes, wowzers.
Justin,
wowzers.
Prepositions are really not doing it for you today.
There's some typographical issues.
No.
That I'm trying to deal. There are. Yesterday, someone was wandering around the office that I work in a monkey costume. See, there was a missing N.
No, that I work at.
In a monkey costume, making monkey noises, and it scared the shit out of me. I was told later that I need to, you know what it is?
What?
Can I say something? This is not a joke, and I'm going to have to do this right here on the show. I have to increase my font size.
Oh, you're getting older before our very eyes.
I'm aging.
Now, are you getting hornier?
Oh, yes.
I knew
this
it.
Isn't right?
You know what,
lady? I shall find no relief here on this podcast I make with my brothers. This is a terrible scenario.
You know what folks love? But hilarious. A nice, big, juicy font.
Yesterday, someone was wandering around the office that I work in a monkey costume, making monkey noises, and it scared the shit out of me. I was told later that this person was, in fact, our company's CEO, and he does this every year during our company-wide free throw competition.
Can't sneak that up
you
on
want
me.
You want your bonus this year? All right. Let's All see right. how you do. Let's see if you
Take
got that,
the
that. See if you got the help of that taco neck syndrome. And that's my main sort of basketball reference is, of course, a Taco Bell commercial with taco neck syndrome.
I did not receive an explanation from my coworkers as to why he does this. Now, when they say why he does this, do they mean run around in a monkey costume or hold a free throw competition for the employees?
I would say column A with a soupçon of column B.
The issue is that I now have a perfectly reasonable fear of this monkey suit and do not know how to respond to this. How I extract myself from the situation next year and avoid the fear of death that this display inspires within me. That's from Scared and Confused in Denver. Okay, one, you work on the TV show The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrifying thing about that is it was canceled several years ago. So you are actually kind of a prisoner.
You're
LARPing. An interdimensional prisoner who is LARPing. Or you're LARPing as The Office.
Can we all agree that the CEO owned this monkey suit prior to any kind of free throw competition happening? And when the free throw competition started up, or maybe the CEO even started the free throw competition as an excuse to wear the monkey suit that they already owned.
You're going to look for any opportunity. When all you've got is a monkey suit, everything looks like a free throw competition.
Yes. We've always
said that's the adage.
I feel like different entertainment mediums have tried to get a fear of monkeys or apes going in me for years and decades. And they just haven't succeeded. Like King Kong, the big monster's here. What is it? A big ape? That's fine. I'm not so scared of that, I think. Uh-oh, Rampage. What's The Rock going to do to get out of this sticky mess? There's a big, big ape. Well, it's just a big ape. Congo. They're coming, the big apes. Are there dinosaurs too? No, just big apes. Like, are there murderers in there too? Nope, just big gorillas. I'm not very afraid of that for some reason.
Okay, the ape that you're discussing in Rampage is several dozen stories tall. So you're saying,
and
you're telling me,
mutated if you with saw giant teeth and
Maybe if you saw 200-foot giant gorilla coming at, and they're the same as apes, everybody. You saw a 200-foot giant gorilla running at you, you would just be like, sorry.
I'm not saying they're not dangerous. I'm just
saying you're not afraid of them.
Okay,
but they are dangerous. So. You're just not afraid of them.
This is a big question, right? Is the monkey costume comical or realistic? Because if it's comical, I don't think it would bother. But if I turned around in an office setting, a gorilla that I actually don't think I would be as scared about seeing in the wild, right? But if I turned around and saw a gorilla in my office,
right,
that might instill in me a bone-deep, lifelong fear.
No, because it's a costume. One of my proudest achievements,
and I'm still afraid of werewolves, Justin.
Yes, but that's but for me, one of my proudest achievements is in life is I've never been fooled by a gorilla costume, ever.
Uh-huh.
Not once, not for a second. Happens to people on prank shows literally all the time. Never happened to me. So I wouldn't have a fear of this. I need to drill down on something though, and I think it's like it's important to. This question, maybe, but it's important to me, definitely. You say that your boss does this every year during the free throw competition. And then you say, how can I avoid being scared like this next year? But in the question itself,
you
make no mention of being involved in a free throw competition. It's like a wild reverse Chekhov's gun where, like, if the gun just emerged from somebody's belly button. And it's like, well, nobody's ever mentioned a gun before, and there's just, like, suddenly a gun. It seems very strange to me that you would not include the context of free throw competition the initial question.
It's a mental association, you're saying. You're not afraid of the monkey costume. You're afraid of how bad you're just going to brick one up there in the paint in this competition. And you have associated that fear with the big monkey.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand that. And
I get it. I'd feel the same way for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm thinking about my gorilla courage now. I think it's because of the gorilla on the front of the box for Gorilla Munch, the Enviro Kids organic cereal. I don't know if y'all ever seen this gorilla, but he's looking at a bowl of this cereal and there's some strawberries in it and there's a little banner letting you know it is gluten-free, and I'm sure the gorilla appreciates that. And he just looks so chill and so happy to just be close to this cereal. And I think when I see the Rampage monster, I see the King Kong, I see the Congo ones, I just think of this gorilla and I'm like, we have more in common than we have that separates us, little guy.
Yeah,
I guess that's beautiful. Careful.
Yeah, so I guess we helped that one.
How's a Yahoo? A lot of people sent this one in. It's from an anonymous Yahoo Answers user, but I'm gonna call them Coco the gorilla. Type this in on the keyboard. Says, has anybody had sex in space to see if conception works in space?
Huh.
I did a little bit of cursory googling. In space, your blood pressure gets low. And so for those of us for whom a boner is an important part of the sexual process, I think we'd just be plumb out of luck without the help of some sort of special space belt, some sort of belt that these NASA scientists are working up. You know they're deep in their labs, like, we got to come up with the special belt. But I don't think they cracked that one yet, and so that's off the table. And I'm sure I don't want to be normative. There's lots of other options, right? But I also think, like, it's pretty small up there on, like, a ship. On this ISS,
mm-hmm.
Shuttle missions, no way. It's the size of, like, a jet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough job to get some privacy up there unless everybody's nasty. And that's a lot to ask for a full flight crew. Hey, you get up there. Woo, launch went okay. Wow, that was scary. We went so fast. We're, like, 70 miles above the surface of the Earth, and that's kind of wild to think about. Wow, look at the space. I'm getting kind of existentially freaked out. Is everyone cool with, like, just doing it? You don't have to participate, but I'm going to, and you'll be close. And there's no way to vent the stink. There's no way.
Now, I did some short, quick Googling. There have been And not that sex should be relegated to just married couples, but there has been a married couple that traveled together in space.
Yes.
So, I mean, maybe they did it. But here's the thing. Let's broaden our definition.
That's very scientific, Travis. Well, I have a theory with evidence, and that is maybe they did it.
They would have, like, you... But, okay.
What about hand stuff? You know, let's not...
They would have to tell Houston? I think they would have to tell Houston.
I think
for
it would
science.
Make it sexier not to tell Houston. Like, do Houston you think doesn't though, have that, to know.
I don't know if they did or not, but you know, when they got picked for the Mish, there was some nasty boys and girls in Houston who were like, so for scientific purposes, while y'all up there, are you gonna? Don't make me say it. are you gonna? Space.
What's a good way? What's a good science way to put it? Are you gonna copulate?
I asked him, Valerie. I asked him.
I did
He's
it.
Just staring at
Give
me.
Me my $5. He said I wouldn't, but I did it.
I did it. Do you think there's one idiot in Houston where, like, every time they go off mic, he's like, y'all gonna go boom? Like, no, Derek, we're not. For the last fucking time, we're gonna get out and get some moss.
Leaking out of the... No,
yeah.
Derek.
No.
Here's what I know about space missions and science research. We have done the most specific shit up there. I'm talking about fucking... astronauts going up there, chilling on the ISS for 100 years, so they got a lot of time on their hands, and they're getting science missions from Houston, and they're like, what's on the docket today, Houston? And Houston's like, you're gonna take this donut we sent up with you and spin it real fast, so we see what happens when you spin a donut real fast, because we've done everything else. If we're there, are you telling me that we haven't been at least a little bit curious about, like, if we traveled into space and went into the stars, if, like, making love would even be possible?
That's the thing, right? Because if you're an astronaut, right, listen, science, exploration, blah, blah, blah. But your dream is to be the first person to do blank in space, right? Like, that's why you become, let's be honest, that's why you became an astronaut. You wanted to be the first person to do blank in space. And I guarantee, listen, we all humans. I guarantee someone has filled in that blank. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's necessary.
I don't think
true,
that's
Travis.
True, my
the
bud.
Suits are very heavy. Like, they're just super heavy. And the monitoring is unparalleled. I do not think these people have a few minutes to... Like, we sent you to space. Like, please focus on science for a second. Unless you're like one of the people in the ISS who's, of course, sent there to live out their days and their return.
It's space prison. You are sent there when you do astronaut crime, and it's a great place, I think, to work out your sentence. But it's
living on the ISS does increase your chances of meeting the doctor. I mean, just like,
that's true.
Where is he more likely to show up? Or they, excuse me, where are they more likely to show up on the space station?
Here's another question.
Also, when you nut, push you backwards. How's that supposed to work? Go ahead, Justin. I said my thing about the when you nut, it pushes you backwards. Look at this.
Did we get a clean take though?
If you look at the script,
actually, could we get a couple different reads on that one? And
yeah, sure. Well, when you nut, it pushes you backwards. I don't know, y'all. I don't know, y'all. When you nut, wouldn't it push you backwards? That's what I think from my own twisted, skewed vision.
Now, Griffin, could you give us one, like, even you're, like, nervous about saying it? Like, even you're unsure it's an okay thing to say?
Yeah, sure.
When you nut, never mind.
That's good.
It pushed you backwards.
Now, could you give us one, like, a really nerdy scientist?
Uh-huh.
What we like to test out is I have a theory that when you nut, it pushes you backward.
Oh, you sounded so much like Dad for a second doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it actually
voice.
Scared
that
me coming
me
out of me. Yeah,
that
I hated
was weird.
That.
That creeped me
I
out.
I could
so
do
much.
One as our dad if you want.
Yeah, do one as our dad.
Well, when you nut, it pushes you backward.
The worst. I work for a company where my coworkers travel or work remotely.
When you
so
nut,
much.
Master Bruce, when you nut, it pushes you backwards. So
why
that was
we
Michael
nut,
Caine.
Master Bruce.
So we can be pushed backwards.
Look outside the window of the space station. There's no stars. Why? Because they're all in here in this recording booth with Griffin, the master of impressions. Speaking of impressions, when I was watching Shape of Water, I thought for about, I don't know if you guys ever think this, I thought for, and not with a specific person, but I thought for about 15 minutes while watching it that I had a Michael Shannon, and it was like, I wanted to nurture it and nestle it and kind of grow it, but by the end of the film, mm-hmm. it was gone from me. I didn't have a Michael Shannon anymore. I thought I had one, but, and it felt good. It felt like a good part of the repertoire, maybe not the most instantly recognizable, but still something. And then it left me, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to share the loss.
Did you think about the time that we saw Michael Shannon, we went out for drinks with Lynn? I don't know if this is okay to tell this story on the show, but we were having drinks, and then all of a sudden there was Julia Roberts, and she was like
not,
standing
was not
at
there
her-
for this.
Oh, okay. Well,
there for this one.
Julia Roberts came to our table and just said hi, and we all said hi back, and there was a moment of just like, should we, we're greeting a person, should we shake her hand? But it never came up because there was sort of just a vibe that we're not supposed to touch Julia Roberts, not allowed to, definitely shouldn't. And then I think we ran into like Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane, and at that point I was like, I have to get the fuck out of here. I'm having full-blown Escape to Margaritaville red carpet like panic. I need to go. And we were like walking out, and there was Michael Shannon like by the door,
and
I
walked
just,
up
like,
to Griffin and was like, hey, you seem nervous, are you okay?
That's not bad, but I saw him and I just like bolted. I was just like, can't too
Wait,
much
Griffin,
too many.
Come back. The
Justin, is Michael
like
Shannon here with us now? Can we speak?
Let me see who's in here. Bring me the fish man.
can you say, oh, you know, it'd be a fun thing to hear Michael say, Mr.
Okay,
Shannon.
I got it. No, I got it. I got it. When you nut in space, it pushes you backwards.
Now, Griffin, could you give me a reading of that as Vincent D'Onofrio from Men in Black?
Could I do one as the fish man instead?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to do this question. I do want to briefly apologize for the secondhand panic that we saw so many people tweet about listening to our episode 400 of the show. Like, there were some legit, like, we triggered some legit brutal anxiety reactions. I have not been able to listen to it since we recorded it, so I get it.
But, if you finish, it, there is an arc of triumph there.
Yes, there's an arc to triumph.
An arc to triumph. It is very, it is a tale of overcoming the fears that live in all of us. And when I say all of us, I mean the three of us and you at home listening.
It's all about overcoming your fears until eventually you get dunked on real hard by Al Roker.
All right. We're going to do this
thank
question.
You. By another thanks, by the way, ancillary thanks for everybody who tweeted about Al Roker, letting him know about Roker Poker. That makes me feel good and not scared for my like career. So cool and great.
Cool. Great. And again, apologies to Mary Lou Henry. I work for a company where my coworkers travel or work remotely so much that I'm often the only one in the office. My job requires my physical presence, so I'm wondering, how can I take best advantage of having this big downtown office all to myself? Keep in mind, a coworker could show up at any moment. That's from Unsupervised in Seattle. You know, I used to be in this scenario. I was, when I was a disc jockey, a board operator, technically, for the radio station. Over the weekends, I would go in on the weekends and, like, literally, you're just a human being there to make sure Brad Paisley keeps coming and that there's no
what?
Silence. No, I'm sorry.
And when he
Brad
does,
Paisley
does he push
tracks.
It backwards?
And I got too deep down the rabbit hole. I ended up, like, bringing in my PlayStation 2 and hooking it up to the TV and getting myself a whole little game station, and then people would come in and I'd have to look at them and just like, listen, I'm busted, you got me, this is what I do, you've got me. So it has to look like work, I guess is what I'm saying, or at least be able to feasibly look like you're working. They didn't cover if they have to work. Like, yeah, how much, you know, like everybody's got a job that has a job, but do you have to work the whole time, or could you do your job in like half of the time?
You know, season one and two, curmudgeonly Travis would say, here's how you fill the time. You do your job. But here's what season three Travis is going to say. Maybe every day you switch your desk with someone else's. And I mean everything in it, everything on top of it, right? And then you just keep doing that every day until everybody's desk is in a different place in the office.
Oh, fun.
Right?
I love these fucking pranks. And then you just watch
people come in and they're like, oh, yeah, no, I guess I was over here. And that's for you. That's for you. I
love that. Videos of office pranks is my absolute best videos that I can find. Putting post-it notes all over somebody's shit, or like flushing somebody's pictures of their family down the toilet.
Wait, what?
Or selling all the computers in the office for drugs. Like,
love that.
Pranks is my best.
That was my least favorite episode of The Office, by the way, when Jim sold all the computers for drugs.
Yeah, and did all
my, my good video on the phone is, I did Facebook today, mm-hmm, and there was a video of a woman who yelled at a bear to tell the bear to go away and was mean to the bear and then said, I'm going to spray you with pepper spray. And then she pepper sprayed the bear.
Aww.
And then the bear destroyed her kayak as she watched and begged the bear to stop, even though she was being mean to the bear and she deserved it.
Uh-huh.
And then the bear destroyed her kayak. And she screamed at the bear.
Travis, what's your good video?
But I do want to point out, why'd you post that, lady? Hey, lady, your kayak got wrecked and you were mean to a bear. And you were like, save, post to Facebook. I don't understand.
I just like the ones where like the kids behave like adults. And they like, where a kid talks and it's like, you understand English, you good.
Kid driving on the highway.
Yeah, kid like paying taxes. Four.
Yeah, I love it.
So I like the ones that are kids reacting to things that I knew about, but they don't know about it because I'm going to die before they will. Those drive me
good. And they say it like, who is this? This is the ape Donkey Kong. I hate his barrels. Justin will die before me. And they say that in every one
of them. Every one of them.
Love that.
I love
who
the
is this?
Like,
this is
looking at a Game Boy, and they're like, who could ever love this? Probably someone who's going to die before me.
If you know what this is, you're going to die before I...
Who is this music? I don't like it. Belle Biv DeVoe, I don't even know who that is. Justin, your days are numbered. I will live forever.
I want them to do videos like that where they have like college kids who are like, who did Nirvana? And then, but then next to them, the camera pans over and there's like a 3-year-old is like, what is Snapchat? And then at the same time, the college student's like, oh fuck, it's a circle, huh? It's like a circle. Got it. Perfect.
I would like to see a version of that video where it's me reacting to things that did happen while I was also in high school, but I just was never privy to them because I wasn't cool enough. When it's like they
Whiz
play
backpack.
Yeah, they play music that was popular in like 1996, and I'm like, I don't know what this is.
I do not know what this is. Boy, we really got away from that question, but that happens sometimes here on My Brother and Me, and that's the kind of like twisted, again, South Park humor that we ask you to maybe think about supporting the show with a donation by joining the Max Fun support circle.
Real quick,
you go to MaximumFun.org/donate and find out all the hot deets on that.
Let me tell you how it works. So it works like this. You go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Then you pick a level that you are able to afford every month. And listen, that's important. We know sometimes the spirit can move you, and you know what? Sometimes you pick an aspirational level. Don't do that. We don't want you to do that. We want you to pick a level you can afford. And it starts at just $5 a month. You pick that level. And then you pick which shows you listen to, and that is where your money goes. Max Fun takes a small percentage to cover their overhead costs, but mostly you are directly supporting the shows and the hosts that you love. It's I don't know of another system that works exactly like this. I mean, there's probably some crowdfunding ones, but
literally any sort of pledge-based public radio system works pretty, pretty close to this. Justin, $5 a month. If somebody joins us at that level, what are they going to get?
You're going to get, I believe it's over 100 hours of bonus content.
I actually calculated this year. I think it's like more like 125.
So, like, we're talking 5 days of bonus content for you to enjoy.
And that's from all the shows on the network throughout time. So there's bonus Mabim Bams in there. This year we did all our old great segments, like what would you even do if, and monthly observances. We got lots of bonus Mabim Bams on there. This is our 8th year doing this. But then there's bonus JJ Goes. There's bonus Adventure Zones. There's bonus Schmanners. There's bonus everything.
Bonus Jonas.
Bonus Jonas is in there.
There's an Adventure Zone, by the way. Well, the one we did this year is really fun. It's four Sherlock Holmes and a vampire that is one of the aforementioned Sherlock Holmes that Justin DM'd that was really fun. But there's also Adventure Zone Nights, an arc with characters that you can only hear in the bonus content, including special guest Lin-Manuel Miranda playing Dungeons and Dragons with us, I believe, for the only time in his entire life.
Right. So $10 a month, you're going to get everything at the lower. Every time you step up, you get everything in the lower level. So at $10 a month, you get the bonus content, and you get a Drive exclusive enamel pin designed by Megan Lynn Cott. There's new design. We did this last year. This year, there's new designs for all the Max Fun shows, and you get to pick your favorite when you make the donation, and you get a Max Fun membership card. The pin for us this year is based on our battle cry, Stronger Together. You can see a pretty you can see it at maximumfun.org/donate when you become a member. It is powerful, and it lets people know sort of what you're all about.
And I believe I've seen some people talking about, like, oh, I can't choose between the pins. If we hit our goal of 25,000 new and upgrading donors, they will make pins available for purchase for whoever wants them.
For people who donated, yes, at the $10 per month level. Travis, $20 per month.
At $20 per month, you're going to get the bonus content, you're going to get the pen, but you're also going to get the Max Fun Family Cookbook, which is lovingly curated with recipes from Max Fun hosts, anywhere from cocktails to desserts and everywhere in between. And also included in that, you're going to get a set of space-themed cookie cutters for you to use while, I guess, you make cocktails. You know.
Justin put in a recipe from our mom's chess bars that were very, very, very tasty. Dad apparently let us know that the recipe for spaghetti-geddon is in the book. Rachel put in her chili recipe that we've talked about on Wonderful before. So we got a lot of stuff in there that you're going to really, really get down on. If you want to make a, like, podcast comedy magic, you got to eat this spaghetti. It is not as funny as you remember it. So we have higher levels too. If you have the means and you want to go in on those higher levels, we sure do appreciate you. But really, we don't care what level you donate at. All that we care about is that you show your support in whatever capacity you are able to show it. It means a lot to us. It helps support us and the network. It has helped us turn this into a career. This is Travis's full-time job. This is what allowed Dad to retire from the radio station last year, where he was working really bonkers hours and was kind of unhappy. And now he's just doing this full-time. Now just doing Adventure Zone.
And let me also be clear.
Really amazing.
This is my only full-time job. But Justin and Griffin, I mean, even though you also work at Polygon, this is also full-time jobs for you. I mean, between recording this show, putting the Yahoos together and putting questions together, and Adventure Zone and editing Adventure Zone, and Justin doing Sawbones, like, we are all podcasting full time at this point, and the reason for that,
I'm not allowed to stop.
Yeah, ever. No, it's important because I will say that not only listen, I would be lying if I said the money didn't help make this a full time job. That is how jobs work. But more than that, it is knowing how much this matters to people. Directly seeing people every year tweet, like, I supported MBMBAM because I love it, right? That lets us know. Think about it this way. We've been doing it 8 years, and we have 400 episodes, which averages out to, like, 50 episodes a year. So we aren't missing episodes when we can help it. And the reason is, we know how important it is to people. We know that this show matters. So we make it a priority.
We treat it like a job. And that's important. And it's a two-way street, because when you donate, you know that you have helped support the show. Every time you listen to it from that point on, you will know that you're part of the supporting team. And that's cool for you also, as well as, you know, receiving these great gifts. So maximumfun.org/donate. Pick the level that's right for you. Pick the shows that you listen to, where you want your money to go. And thank you all so much.
I want to say two more quick things before we move on, and that is, it's important to note that the goal is not just new donors. It's also upgrading donors. So if you've been a member before, thank you so much. Can't say thank you enough. But if you started listening to more shows over the year, and we have added a whole bunch of new shows, or maybe just the shows that you listen to have filled an even more important part of your life, then maybe think about it's time to, you know, move from 5 to 10 or 10 to 20 or whatever you want to do. And also, we also understand that not everybody can afford it. We totally get that. That is very reasonable, and we don't begrudge that at all. But you can still help by going on social media and spreading the word, saying like, hey, it's hashtag MaxFundDrive. Make sure you go to MaximumFund.org/donate and consider supporting the shows you love. That helps. That means the world to us. So just, there's so many ways you can help, and we really appreciate it.
How about a Yahoo?
Do it. Coward.
Okay. This one's sent by Morgan Davey. Keep it waving, Morgan Davey. It's Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong. I refuse. You have an avatar. You've got to have a name. You got to have a fucking name. Shit.
What?
It just won't load. I'll call him Braxton.
Okay, for a second, Griffin, I thought you were saying, I'll call them. Okay.
I'll call him. Hold on. Hey, who's this? Yahoo weirdo? What's your name? Braxton? Great. Braxton asks, Billy Joel costume? I am doing a report as Billy Joel. We're going to get the fuck into that before we get into the rest of the question, but okay. I have to give a speech and dress up like Billy. If you would have any good suggestions for what I could wear, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay.
What is the Billy Joel report that you're giving?
No.
Is it a history class and you're doing like a We Didn't Start the Fire and it's just like, George Washington was the first president. He did his best and he had wooden teeth. Hey.
Or maybe it's a report on Billy Joel as Billy Joel. Like you're Hal Holbrook of Billy Joel.
I love it. Sir, this is U.S. history.
Yeah, Billy Joel made U.S. history when he released his great album.
I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And one thing I know about me is I didn't start any fires.
The year was 1889.
I fell in love with an uptown girl.
Billy Joel costume. What's going to really get
him
across?
I remember when I was born, and for the longest time, I was a baby.
All right. But Travis is sort of writing the report for them, which is going to be a very helpful sort of thing when they listen to this episode, but they're not going to know what to wear to be Billy Joel. Is a t-shirt that you have written, I am Billy Joel on it, out of the question.
Hey, which Billy?
I would say
there's a lot of different Billys nowadays. You're going to go with kind of a black jacket, black pants, black t-shirt, black sunglasses, shaved head kind of build.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you want to go back to the days, get yourself some...
White wall tires.
So like big shoes. It seemed like Billy was into big shoes and he kind of rolled up packs of cigarettes in his sleeves and he had acid wash jeans, which were huge.
The still rock and roll to me look is very good. It's like a bright reddish orange jacket, white tie, black shirt, and just gigantic hair. Just the biggest, just poofiest.
Very, very big hair.
We could go early 90s, big colorful windbreaker, hyper color tank top, JNCO shorts, and sort of Birkenstock sandals. And that's when he was like, y'all remember that short period where he had his own little sort of like musical alter ego of Max Cool Jazz? So you could do the very short sort of Max Cool Jazz phase, and that could be like a fun way of covering it.
My favorite part of the Max Cool Jazz phase is when like the neighborhood kids would be like, hey, mister, what's the Max stand for? And he'd look at him, he'd lower his sunglasses, and he'd say, maximum. And then they would know that he was playing cool jazz to the very limit of the
well,
art
form. That's the coolest jazz we've ever heard!
So show up in your Max Cool Jazz cosplay and bring out your theremin, which people would be like, he'd be on the stage, and they'd be like, piano man! And he'd be like, I don't have my piano.
I'm the theremin man now, or theremin.
I'm the theremin man, Max Cool Jazz, and here's my new song, Space Aliens is the name of my new song. Now, here it goes.
Is there a question mark at the end of that, Griffin?
It's more of like a surprise.
Oh, okay.
And so I think really the iconic for me is the black jacket, black shirt, black pants, shaved head, sunglasses. Yeah. Maybe you have like a, but that may, people might think that you're like a cool hitman, mm-hmm. which is his aesthetic. And so I think you need even more. Maybe you have a small piano that you bring out there with you.
Ooh, I like
just
it.
Just so people know.
What if you, maybe you, what if you build a diorama that you stood in that demonstrated you walking by the River of Dreams, right? And it was like, oh, okay, clearly that's the River of Dreams. And you're
oh, okay, so we can,
it.
Yes, we can do this. All Dab, all black, shaved head, loving it. You walk into the classroom soaking wet. Uh-huh. Just douse yourself in the bathroom. And also you're carrying a big plate of spaghetti. Uh-huh. And people will be like, what? And you'll be like, looks like I fell into the River of Dreams while on my way to the Scenes from Italian Restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Walk into your classroom and say, who wants some red and who wants some white? And just start pouring some wine for your classmates.
For your high school class. And that's good. And but I'll tell you what. You walk in that class dressed up like Billy Joel soaking wet with a plate of spaghetti. People will be like, that's Billy Joel.
That's Billy
he fell in the River
Joel.
Of Dreams on his way to the river, on the way to the Italian restaurant. I know what you're doing.
That's Dr. William Joel if I've ever seen him.
I'm trying to have fun with you guys, but Travis reminded me that it's still rock and roll in me. And it makes me so angry.
Do you mean song in which Billy Joel has a conversation about with himself about rock and roll and whether rock and roll is still itself rock and roll?
Yeah, it's so hot. It's just, you read the lyrics.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it says, like, nowadays you can't be too sentimental. Your best bet's a true baby blue continental. Uh-huh. Hot funk, cool punk, uh-huh. Even if it's old junk, uh-huh. It's still rock and roll to me. It is so, I love a lot of Billy Joel songs, and I do not mean to dunk on the man. It is wild to me that he wrote that, and he looked at it and he's like, that's a song. And then he took it to other people with instruments, and they were like, you got a song on your hands, Bill. And then they put it out, and then America was like, what am I hearing? Is this a song? Because it sounds like a song. And like I feel like the lone man on an island who's like, it's not a song. Well, there's nothing. He's done nothing.
It fills in.
What are we doing?
It fits into a category of song that is one of my favorites.
We're going to talk about this again. I should warn you before you go too deep on this. We talked about this exact subcategory on our last song
definitely,
episode.
Definitely did.
Songs that reaffirm that rock and roll still exists?
Yes, we can.
Oh,
yes.
No. This well, my new thing. Favorite one, because I was listening to the new Train song that is set to the music of, no joke, Heart and Soul.
Yes, what are they doing? You didn't do a song.
He forgot how to play piano.
And the song is a self-referential song that doesn't that references the song in third person that says, "Hey, play that song, not this song, but that song,
that other song." It's like it is Train's version of The Greatest Song in the World by Tenacious D.
Yeah.
It's not The Greatest Song in the World. It's just a tribute.
It's just a tribute to that. And it made me start thinking about how many songs there are that were like, hey, Mr. DJ, put that record on. I want to dance with my baby. What record?
Yeah. You know the what? You know the
one I'm talking about. I'm talking about Max Cool Jazz's Kind of Blue, too. I think you can wear whatever you want for your Billy Joel report. But let me paint the scene. Teacher's in front of class and like, Dylan, it's time for your report. Has anybody seen Dylan? And then you smash it through the wall
Griffin,
in your car.
We went
what?
The whole bit without referencing the most obvious joke.
And then you get out and you're like, what's up, everybody? So, Piano Man.
We went the whole bit without mentioning that he was married to somebody from West Virginia that we grew up with.
And then he crashed his car into three houses in 2 years.
Yeah, but I guess I'm okay. Well, anyway, so that's it for that bit.
Billy Joel?
Hey, Billy Joel.
I want a mug.
Joel.
Jazz.
I want to.
River of Dreams.
Uptown.
This one isn't. That real quick, this isn't for the Munch Squad specifically, but it is part of the podcast. Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast. about what's hot, what's new in the world of fast food. Want to say a big Munch Squad congratulations to Brad Reed. Just got promoted to Chief Development Officer over Captain D's. So Brad. He is moving up after being vice president of franchise
operations.
How
do they not fucking call that, like, first mate in charge of development? You know what I mean?
Well, because it's a publicly traded company, Travis. I think they probably want to handle things like other normal ones. No, I want to talk about Zaxby's. I literally don't
know what word you just said, my friend.
That's fine. Zaxby's is a chicken chain.
Run by aliens.
In the South.
Hello, I am Zaxby.
We have zapped your small birds with our laser guns.
Mr. Joel.
Mr. Joel. The Earth's last hope. Billy Joel. You'll never stop us now. What's that new sound? It's actually not a new
this
sound.
This isn't Billy rock Joel. And roll.
This isn't rock and roll. It is to me. Well, Bill, you can't just say that. Anyway.
Who's Zaxby's that champion in the car with white-walled tires?
And why is he driving at our restaurant so fast and recklessly?
Slow down, Mr. Joel.
No, it's a chicken chain in the South. It's very good. I only get to enjoy it when I'm headed to the beach to get on island time. Me and the Smurls will always make a point. Well, I kind of bully them into it. They have of driving through a Zaxby's. Not driving through a Zaxby's. I'm not Billy Joel. Driving to a
Zaxby's.
Can
we leave Mr. Joel
alone?
We
broke the seventh seal. The horns on high blew, and then we knew that the only jokes we were going to tell for the rest of the episode. Okay.
Okay. Zaxby's has the good news for Zaxby's fans. The Zenzation Salad is returning to Zaxby's for a limited time. My teeth already fucking hurt, and I've already only done it a couple times. As requested by thousands of fans, Zaxby's is bringing back the Zenzation Salad at all Zaxby's locations in 17 states from April 2nd, okay, so you've only missed a few days of it, to July 1st, with bright flavors and bold textures. The Zenzation Salad. Oh, God, it's really getting uncomfortable now. Yeah. Guys, like, make Z's over and over again. It really starts to get
unpleasant. No, I was in speech therapy. I know.
Bad mouthfeel. Combines indescribably great ingredients with Asian flair.
Not a good word to describe food.
Yeah, indescribably great.
But what's in it, Zaxby's? I wish I could tell you.
We don't even know.
There are no words in your human tongue.
The Zenzation Salad is our most frequently requested limited time offer item, says Stephanie Gamble, Vice President of Menu Innovation. And we continue to bring it back because guests love it. I can't begin to tell you how many times we've heard, I don't even eat salads, but I love the Zenzation.
So wait.
Finally, a salad for people that wouldn't touch a salad with their neighbor's fork. They wouldn't get near it. But now you've got the one salad, the Zenzation.
It's been about 4 minutes now since I found out we were doing a salad one. And now and my mind won't stop racing, thinking of what they have put on this to make the texture so indescribable. I'm like, I'm thinking Takis. I'm thinking this one's maybe got Takis.
So the Zenzation provides sweet and savory flavors like sesame, pineapple, orange juice,
what?
Ginger, garlic, soy, rice vinegar, honey,
wet and salad,
and brown sugar, and great textures from hand-chopped lettuces, crispy wontons, crunchy Asian slaw, and a veggie roll. Add Zaxby's signature chicken fingers for a salad that's a perfect combination of the vibrant and the familiar. The reason I wanted to highlight this, and it's also for the quote that's coming up after this, but the reason I want to highlight this, they have not given you folks a list of ingredients. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. You asked what was in the salad, and Zaxby's turned from its grim work, looked you dead in the eye, and gave you a list of different feelings that you're going to experience while consuming the salad. They're describing the salad from your point of view, not telling you what goes to create the flavors of sesame, pineapple, orange juice, ginger, garlic, soy, rice, vinegar, honey, and brown sugar. They just have those flavors.
It's well, just it's there's so much. There's so much fluid. That's what this sounds all right. It sounds like a nice little Asian salad with chicken on it, and also there's some sort of spring roll in there, and that's kind of wild. But okay, Zaxby's, I'll play with me. And I understand there's just a lot of sort of liquid content in there. I'm wondering if this is a sort of a cold soup, a gazpacho.
So here's the quote, and I know what you're wondering to yourself: why doesn't Zaxby's offer this? If people love the Zenzation so much, why doesn't Zaxby's just offer it year round,
good question,
like they do with the birthday cake milkshake, for example? The answer is this. For the Zenzation, Gamble says, we use 4 unique ingredients that must be inventoried, prepped, and monitored daily.
What?
The build is a different process than our typical salads, and it requires training and diligent reinforcement.
What?
It'll escape.
We got a fucking pineapple thief on our hands.
You think we can trust with a fucking salad burglar around? Scrubble, scrubble.
Scrubble, scrubble. Give me that rice vinegar. Yoink.
We got fucking J.K. Simmons to come in and throw chicken fingers at people when they didn't diligently make the salad good enough. But it's worth it, as there's nothing more rewarding than bringing back a fan favorite and making our guests happy. So what they're saying is, like, we could do this year-round. It's very hard, and we're tired here at Zaxby's, and we'd rather not do it all the time. This is exhausting that you're asking. What are you asking us to do right now? You know how big of a favor you are asking us to do by bringing back this salad, and yet you persist.
It's like, I wish every fast food restaurant was this upfront about it. Like, yeah, Szechuan sauce is back. We're not looking forward to it, because last time we tried this, a bunch of fucking nerds tried to burn down 13 of our establishments. So we'll do the Szechuan sauce at great cost to ourselves, but, like, somebody brought a fucking sword into one of our restaurants last time. So we're not so wild about it. You have to
understand.
And those
are just the people that didn't have a concealed carry sword license. There's probably a lot of undercover swords.
They said they were cosplaying Rick and Morty, but they had swords.
I don't know, man. One last note here. Zaxby's does suggest, I know what you're saying. What about pairing the entree with something? Zaxby's suggests pairing the, we got the sommelier over here, and he suggests pairing the Zenzation salad with the exclusive Coca-Cola Freestyle mix, Southern Peach Fizzle.
Ooh.
So in case you're looking for a pairing recommendation, that is what our sommelier recommends. You, of course, are free to make your own choice.
Okay. I'm going to find out, first of all, what this restaurant is, where it is, how they do what they do, and then get one of these very wet salads.
Get one single wet salad.
How about a question, Juice?
The high school in my town is performing Shrek the Musical. I want to go see it, but I have no connections to the high school. I didn't go there. I don't know any students or parents of students that attend. Is it weird for me to go? How would a late 20s Shrek enthusiast go about doing so? An all-star in Woodland Park, Colorado.
This is... They're doing it for you.
Yeah, like you are... You've just... Is this where we're at, folks? Like, are we...
I know! I'm with you, and I understand you, and I am you.
I get what you're saying, but like...
Well, I don't know the Foo Fighters. It would be weird if I went to see them.
I don't know the Foo Fighters, and I don't know any parents of the Foo Fighters.
I'm not making fun of you. I swear to God, I'm with you. I don't know, Dave. Is it weird if I go see his show as the Foo Fighters?
There is a certain... we have reached the point where, like, I get that there is a perceived, and maybe it's not all bad, perceived, like, I'm not supposed to be there unless I'm connected to it feeling.
Oh, high schools are the most. High schools are the most. Whenever I go, when we went back to Huntington High School, which is where I went to school to shoot stuff for the TV show, there is nothing like being in a school, even if it's one that you went to, that makes you feel like, especially in elementary school where everything's a little bit littler, and then you feel like the Rampage gorilla, and you're just smashing through the hallways of the high school, like John Mayer sang about in his song. He's like, I want to smash through the halls of my high school. I'll kick apart all the lockers and desks. Like, it makes you feel like you're committing a you're trespassing. And mm-hmm. I get that. I think that's probably where they're coming from a little bit.
I think that Shrek, Fiona, the whole gang would be thrilled to see you at the show. I think that would be a delight.
But you make sure you announce as you go in, like, I'm just here because I love Shrek.
Yeah, I love Shrek. I'm not a student.
Donkey!
What if we're wrong, though, and they show up and it's all high schoolers and you, and at one point Shrek points in the audience and he's like,
look at that. Look at that perv.
Interloper. That's
interloper. Attack. Teens, attack, donkey.
Maybe you walk up and say, I'm with Shrek. I know Shrek.
Romantically.
I know. I'm an invited guest of Mr. Shrek.
I am Shrek. I'll be playing Shrek this evening.
Okay. Oh, that's fun. So those stairs next to the stage, anybody can just go up those and say, like, do you guys have a Shrek for tonight? Because I'd like to throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah, I'd like to be... I heard you guys were doing Shrek, so I was just seeing if I could sign up to be Shrek.
You just have to put a quarter on the edge of the stage to indicate that you have next.
I'm next on Shrek.
Next on Shrek.
But listen, I will not eat a bug.
I will not eat a bug, I don't want that goddamn scene-stealing donkey up here with me.
I'll turn my earwax into a candle. I will wash my teeth with slime. I will not eat a fucking bug.
Or a parfait. I don't like them, which makes you perfect for the role of Shrek.
I'm not going to eat a slime parfait because I'm a dentist in this town. People know who I am. They won't come see me. You try to get me up here to eat a bug. You trying to embarrass me? I'm running for mayor. Hey, I have a Yahoo Hero that we can do real fast.
Yeah.
Sent in by Brooks Oglesby. Thanks, Brooks. It's Yahoo Answers user. Maybe this one will load. Sawyer Babe asks, why is it called The Breakfast Club? What does the title have to do with the movie?
Thank you. Thank you. They eat lunch.
It's in the movie because at the end, Anthony Michael Hall like signs their essay as the Breakfast
Club.
But
why?
And that's fine. But why, Anthony? There's not a scene, I don't think. There is a scene where they, I think, eat
lunch.
Lunch.
They eat lunch. This should be the lunch club.
So, it should be the lunch club, Travis. There's not a scene where Molly Ringwald pulls out a bagel.
There's a scene where they smoke a bunch of weed. They could be the weed club.
They could be the weed club. They could be the problems club. The bad family crew. But they don't breakfast at any point. It's so weird.
What if it turned out that that's why they were all in detention? Because, like, they are outside of the detention thing, they are all in a club called the Breakfast Club where they would just get together and talk about breakfast. And one day they did that in a room where they weren't supposed to. And it's like, well, you have detention. And that backstory part is just never mentioned in the movie.
Okay.
I have some news. The original title of The Breakfast Club was The Lunch Bunch.
That's a much better title.
That doesn't change the... That doesn't nullify us talking about it, because they purposefully saw the off-ramp and didn't get on it, and they're like, oh, shit, what's the next off-ramp? Breakfast, okay, oops.
Do you think the problem was Lunch Bunch just sounds too dang whimsical, and everybody was like, this sounds like a wacky, like... You know, spring break, who's going to get laid sex comedy? And then you get in there and it's like, oh no. They're talking about their problems.
Serious family stuff. Oh. This is like if they called Forrest Gump, like Jumping Man.
Or Running Man.
And he doesn't jump much. It's not very much like a part of the... Thank you, Travis, for not really understanding
the premise. I just wanted to make a joke because Running Man is already a movie.
It does seem kind of like they filmed the whole movie. And they didn't know what they were going to call it. And someone was just like, can you pretend like we've said Breakfast Club a lot, Anthony? Can you pretend like we said Breakfast Club a lot during the movie and just kind of end it like that in a real confident way?
Maybe it was a flub. Maybe he was supposed to say Lunch Club and he said Breakfast Club, but it was the only clean take they got.
He was so hungry they filmed that last scene at 8 o'clock. He hadn't had his yogurt.
Or maybe they were going to call it Lunch Bunch, but then when they were filming the movie, they were like, there's a possibility we can make this a trilogy.
Yes.
It's not too late.
That actually makes
sense. We could still make Lunch Bunch and Dinner Winners.
It's about PUBG. It's just the gang is there and they're playing Public G together.
He's one hit, Emilio. Push.
Folks, that is going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much. One last push, and I do mean last because we won't be with you again before the drive is over. My MaximumFun.org/donate. If you like our show and it makes you feel good to listen to it and you'd like to support it and support us in making more stuff, that's the address. Or and supporting like all the shows on the network, or the ones that you listen to, because that is an important point, that your donation, a portion of it goes to Maximum Fun to help their pay for their great staff, and they make our lives so much easier day in, day out. But also, like, you choose the shows that you listen to when you sign up, and those are the shows that get your money. They split it up. So, like, it's really important that you choose what shows you listen to, but know that, like, you are funding those shows. You are part of the team of those shows, if you will.
Yeah, it's again, like, it means a lot to us, and we can't imagine like doing this anywhere else. The Maximum Fun Network has been a home for us for 8 years now and has given us so much, and you all have given us so much. And if you're new or you've been consuming more content, just think about going to MaximumFun.org/donate and helping us hit that 25,000 new and upgrading member goal. And yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It was so great to have that, and still is great. And thank you to Al Roker for
everything.
You know what? No thanks to Al Roker. I'm tired of supplicating myself. He did me dirty out there. Thanks to Corey Cott. How about that?
Yes. Yeah. Thanks to Matt Doyle for not being there.
But for being there. Also, real quick, so our Dallas and Houston shows are coming up this weekend when you hear this. And there are still some tickets left available, especially Houston. Houston, please. Where are you, Houston?
Houston, please, Houston, we have a problem. Please.
MacroShows.com/tours and send you your questions now. Make sure to put in the subject line, like, Dallas show or Houston show. I've got another Cincinnati Underground Society show coming up April 28th. Tickets are on sale now. You can get those at bit.ly/CussKey2018. That's CussKey2018. We had a real blast at last month's show, and I hope to see you out at this month's show. bit.ly/CussKey2018. Yeah, and also the May shows are going to come up sooner than you think, so send in questions for those too.
Speaking of May, we're going to be doing Sawbones, Still Buffering, and Court Appointed at the Columbus Podcast Festival on Saturday, May 12th. You can get tickets. The link is hard for me to find, but if you Google, you will find the way to get tickets. I don't have a punchy bit.ly link like Travis does.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry, Trav. I just can't. I just don't have one. But yeah, we're going to be doing those three shows back to back to back, so come see us. It'll be fun.
I need Yahoo's also for the live shows. Please get him in. Thank you, Warriors. All right, final Yahoo. This one was sent in by Merritt Palmer. Thank you, Merritt. It's Yahoo Answers user Ashley who asks, "Hey, how do I get the wax covering on Baby Bell cheese out of my ear?"
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.